Dear congregation, you have already received a sermon, a perfect sermon from the Lord in the sign and sacrament of baptism. A sermon that cannot be improved upon because the Lord himself has preached it by inviting you parents with your children to come to the fountain of water for cleansing, which we all so need. And the Lord has manifested his readiness and his willingness to be the all and in all for sinners like you and like me. And the sermon you will hear now will not be perfect, but we pray that it would point you to the very reality that you just saw, and that the Lord would apply this, that he would apply the foolishness of preaching, that sinners might be saved. Because, congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the verses before us this morning, was rejoicing in spirit. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ had all sorts of emotions, all of them right and godly, because he was perfect, he was without sin. And sometimes he wept. He wept at Lazarus's tomb. He wept when he was face to face with the ravages of death. When people hardened their necks against the Lord, he wept over Jerusalem. He was in great agony when the cup of suffering was held before him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and yet he spoke those words, "Not my will, but thine be done." But here in the words of our text, the Lord Jesus does not weep, he rejoices. And this is remarkable because the context of this rejoicing was really the rejection on the part of the cities in which he did so many wonderful works. They were rejecting him. They were hating on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet in all of this, the Lord Jesus Christ had joy. He had joy in his Father. He says it in the words that you can find before us today. Matthew 11, verse 25, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." The Lord Jesus Christ knew what it was to bow low before his Father and his human nature as he does here in this text. And he finds joy in his heart in submitting to his Holy Father. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father." You know, congregation, when we put ourselves next to that and we see ourselves in just a little measure, it's the hardest thing for us to bow under the will of God. Man by nature maintains himself. The hardest thing for him to do is to submit his life, his will, his desires to the Lord of heaven and of earth. As our Heidelberg Catechism says it so poignantly, "Grant that we may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which alone is good." And that ought to be our prayer, no matter what life brings our way, that we would have a readiness, even an eagerness, to fulfill the calling that the Lord has given us, to bow under his will. But in order to do so, we need this very one who is pictured for us, who stands before us in this text, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God in our nature, who speaks these out-of-this-world words, "So it seemeth good in thy sight." And congregation, may that be something that the Lord leads us to, you two parents and all of us, visitors, grandparents, whoever we may be, to bow through this Son of God and to say, so it seemed good in thy sight. Well, our text has already been read in your hearing. It's Matthew 11, verse 25 and 26. And our theme, looking to the Lord, is simply revealed unto babes. We'll see, first of all, that it is not man, nor the head that God accepts. It is not man, nor the head that God accepts, because we see that here in our text. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. It is not man nor the head that God accepts. Secondly, it is the heart that God changes so as to make us babes. It is the heart that God changes so as to make us babes, because it says here in our text, and hast revealed them unto babes. And then thirdly and lastly and briefly, what are some of the things that God reveals to babes? And then we will focus especially on verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Revealed unto babes, it is not man nor the head that God accepts. It is the heart that God changes for to make us babes. And what are some of the things that God reveals to such babes? O congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, and he was earnest in his preaching. He did wonderful miracles. Everything he said was intended to glorify his Father, and also to show unto man his great need, and how all man's needs come together and focus upon his need for the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that confronted the Lord Jesus Christ and confronts us very much today as well, and that is man is climbing the ladder to heaven as best as he can. He is pushing himself up and up and up, and he does this in many different ways. And along the way, man seeks to bring others down. He climbs up, and others must go down. And this is simply the covenant of works as it plays itself in the heart and life and conscience of fallen man. Also, each and every one of us here. This is how our world operates. This is how businesses operate. This is how politics operates. This is how religious organizations, sadly, often operate. I must increase and you decrease. That's how we live. The congregation of the Lord draws a line through all of this. He makes clear that no matter what effort man undertakes to climb his way up to God, whether it be wisdom, whether it be prudence, whether it be religious knowledge even, none of these things bring us any closer to the Lord. Because of our fallen Adam, we have a broken covenant of works. It no longer works to attain that for which we have been made. And yet, we are all so dogged in seeking to attain what we cannot attain by our human hands. Well, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear here. Thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent. Now, this word wise probably refers to people who amass knowledge and wisdom, who project themselves as intellectuals, who've garnered a lot of knowledge. It may be a lot of technical knowledge, it may be a lot of academic knowledge, but as people who pride themselves in knowledge, in wisdom. The prudent are more people who they look out over life and they find out what works. They might not be the smartest people intellectually speaking or religiously speaking, but they're prudent. They can navigate the challenges of life, and they can make, so they think, life work for them. But congregation, if this is you, then the Bible says that the Lord has hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. You may have all sorts of things opened up unto you, revealed unto you. You might navigate life and business and this world so very well. But there are some things that you do not know, and you will never know unless you have a great change. Thou hast hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent. The wise and the prudent, congregation, are people who think that if they snap their fingers, then they can have what it takes to live life. If I just educate myself, if I just push further and further, then I will get what I need, also religiously, also with God. My friend, if that is you, God has hidden these things from you because you're wise and prudent. When we turn the pages of the Old Testament, we see many of such wise and prudent people. Think, children, about Babel, about the Tower of Babel. Don't you think those people thought by their own scheming and imagination that they could climb up into heaven? If only we unite, if only we combine efforts, if only we start to build, we can get there. We can reach the height of heaven. Let us go and build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. The same spirit is very much alive in our world today, in our globalized world where people want to unite and get better and better at technology and conquer problems and misery and put away all these things. And then they'll create a utopia, so they imagine. But it can be also very personal. Think of Naaman. Naaman was wise in his own conceits. Listen to him. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? You see, Naaman had his own thoughts about how he should be cleansed. Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. You see, even religiously, we, like Naaman, think we know exactly how it all must go and what the Lord all must do. But, my friend, you can still, with all those thoughts, still be wise and prudent and have the truth hidden from you. We see this on display in the life of Nicodemus before the Lord had mercy on his soul. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus is wise and prudent, and he can't see the kingdom of heaven. How about the Pharisee in the temple praying, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Here's a wise man. Here's a prudent man. He thinks he has it all. But what he truly needs is hidden from him. You see, congregation, the Bible makes very clear, man by wisdom knew not God. The gospel, congregation, is a stumbling block to the Greek who loves wisdom. And so it is that the apostle says, not many wise, not many noble. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound them that are wise. The congregation, the fact that the wise and prudent can't see the things that they need doesn't mean that those things aren't there. The problem is that they are too high, and the truth is too low for them. So they always pass it by. They're always climbing, climbing, climbing. Whereas the truth that they and we all so need is far too low for them. And that's why people can read the Bible and yet never attain to spiritual truth, because they see over the Bible. They don't need the things of which the Bible is speaking. They're too high, too mighty, too high-minded. Not only is the Bible too low for them, but the one spoken of in the Bible, the one who is the theme and the thrust of the whole Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is too low for them. Oh yes, they can make Christ into someone that fits their wisdom and fits their prudence, but the Christ of the Bible, the Savior from sin, he's too low for them. They don't need him. He's an offense to them. And yes, they can cloak that also very religiously, but in the end of the day, to have someone come from the heights of heaven to which they are seeking to climb up, to have God in Christ come down to a manger outside in swaddling clothes, that is too low. That is not what they need. They do not need a second Adam to do their life over again. They do not need one to accomplish in our nature obedience to the law, to magnify the law and make it glorious, and to pay the debt on the cross for sin. Scripture is too low. Christ is too low. And conversion and the new life which lies contained in God and Christ is also too low. To turn from my evil ways, to turn from my sin, to give up my life, which has been nothing but sin. The wise and prudent can't fathom it. They have no use for it. They don't need it. And to now live a life carrying the cross after the Lord Jesus Christ, denying myself, dying every day, mortifying the deeds of the body that I might live. No, this is something far too low. Far too base. And so it is, congregation, that to the wise and prudent, the things of everlasting salvation are hid from them. And that's the sobering truth that we must face before we go on any further. Congregation, you and I, by nature, are like these cities of Galilee, Capernaum, Bethsaida. We have had mighty things done among us. We have had the Word of God so close, so near. But could it be that this morning all these things are hidden from you? You don't see them. You don't truly know them. You don't have an experiential acquaintance with them in your own soul. Why is that? My dear friend, to put it frankly, I pray, God, that you'd understand this parable. The reason they are hidden from you is you are not like those two little children that were brought forward here this morning. Babes. We need to become babes, spiritually speaking. What a parable the sacrament of baptism is, that here come these freshly born children into this life, and the Lord condescends to have dealings with them so remarkably, so one-sidedly. They come to the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Oh, I know it's signified. It must be made a reality, but it is a powerful parable. Congregation, it ought to be something that humbles us. You see, congregation, the Lord would have our heart. And the Lord makes for a new heart. You see, the truth of the gospel is not, well, I guess that I can't be wise, I can't be prudent, I need to make myself a baby. No. Do you see how that's right away turned back into works? You don't have to make yourself anything. You cannot. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But God has regard for the lowliest, for the neediest, for babes. He's revealed it unto babes. You see, congregation, this word babes is really, in the original, it is the smallest of the infants. This is not the word for children, but for babes, babies, infants. And why is the Lord Jesus Christ drawing attention to them here? Well, what do you know about babies? Babies are really, they're beautiful, but they are a bundle of need. A baby left to itself cannot eat, cannot get its own food, its own drink, cannot care for itself. It is a bundle of need. A baby, secondly, has desires, but very basic desires. Desires for food, for drink, for comfort, for safety, for protection. A baby doesn't think about all the great things of this world. No. It's thinking about how can I live through this day? Where's my food? Where's my drink? Where's my safety? Where's my protection? And a baby congregation simply cries. Simply cries. When they don't have what they need, they cry. Because they need that. A baby is easily content most of the time. Unless there's extraordinary circumstances, but content with food and with raiment and with safety and with father and with mother. Easily content. And so too, spiritually speaking, a true babe cries when hungry, cries when needy, but little things make them so content. The father's care, the son's word, the Holy Spirit's gifts, all these things are more than enough for the soul that has been made a little baby. And a baby is also, thirdly, someone who wants to learn, who's teachable. Very soon your children will be crawling around and wanting to take this and take in that. They want to learn. And that's what a baby also spiritually wants to learn. They want to learn the will of God. They want to learn who God is. They want to learn what they can do and what they must do. Well, congregation, do you see what this new life in Christ looks like? Which each and every one of us needs, and which the Lord is so pleased to give. He's promised it this morning, even in the sacrament of baptism, that He as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will provide everything that is necessary for body and for soul, and that He will turn even afflictions to our profit. The Lord has manifestly declared that in His Word and also signed and sealed that in the sacrament of baptism. And so I ask you, congregation, this morning, do you know what it is to be such a helpless bundle of need before an almighty God for whom you've been made and without whom you are lost and which you will continue to need all the days of your life and into eternity? You will never outgrow Him. And has it come to this point in your life that you are desiring the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby? Is that why you came here this morning? Milk, Lord. Milk. I need food. I need food for my soul. Are you here with mouths open wide, Like babies open their mouths, just hoping, wishing, longing for something to fill it. And the Lord says in His Word, open wide thy mouth of longing. O congregation, it's not up, but it's down. We need to become small. We need the work of the triune God to make us small, to make us to depend, to make us to rely on Almighty God. I ask you this morning if that miracle has taken place in your life. Well, I hear some of you saying, I wish I knew that this miracle has taken place. I see so much of the old man. I see so much of this seeking to attain wisdom, of trying to control everything, trying to climb up more and more, trying to accrue things to myself, pushing people down, all the while climbing up myself. I ask you, my dear friend, do you grieve over that? Do you long for this to be different? Do you heed God's word when He calls you to leave off the works of the flesh and to depend, to submit, to bow, to cry with all your need to the Lord? Well, congregation, to babes this is revealed. To babes. And I wonder, parents here, whether you have never been convicted by some of your children as you've raised them. And I trust this will happen with you as well, if it's not already happening. When you see the simplicity of your newborn babies, and as they grow older too, your children, how ready they are to simply repeat the things you say, even where they don't understand it. I heard a story of a young girl, 5 or 6 or 7 years old. She was walking through the mall with her mother, and she just started to sing a song she had learned in school. I am evil, born in sin, thou desirest truth within. She was singing at the top of her lungs, and her mother said to her, shh, shh, shh. People think strange things about us. And the girl looked up at her mother and said, why, Mom? It's true, isn't it? I'm evil, born in sin. You see, there's the point. We become so wise and prudent. We need to learn from children in this regard. Or I think of this young boy who went to a dentist, and he was kind of fearful of being in a dentist chair. Have you ever had that? Maybe you can relate to that, children here. And the dentist wanted to put him at ease and said, well, do you know any songs? Why don't you sing a song? And the boy thought, well, I do know a song. And he sang a song, and the dentist had departed from the faith. He had been raised in a Christian home, and the boy started to sing, open wide thy mouth, I will fully satisfy. And the dentist looked at him and said, well, do you know a different song, something better? And the boy sang the next verse, but my people would not hearken. And the Lord used this in that man's life. But do you see how children can trust so easily the truth that we adults have such a difficulty with? And so I ask, congregation, whether you know anything of the secret of our text, that the Lord gives abundantly, not to the wise, not to the prudent, but to babes. We want to see a few of those things here briefly in our third and final point. We read in the words of our text, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. What sorts of things does the Lord reveal to his babes? Well, first of all, he reveals the greatness of divine sovereignty, that God is God and there is none else. And congregation, you might think that that is too much for a babe to understand, but no. Don't you find even in children that there is this readiness, at a spiritual level at least, a readiness to believe that God is great and God is over all and God is holy. When we teach our children these things, which I trust that you will do as well and are doing already, as you teach your children these things, children don't generally question that. They can't see God. They might ask questions. But God is great. God is holy. They take God at His word. And God is sovereign. God is God. God is not a man like unto us. God works all things according to the counsel of His own will. And this is what the Lord reveals to babes. And it becomes something that they rest in, something they submit to, something they find comfort in. That God is in control. That when I can't make sense of life, and when in my own wisdom I try to climb up and to understand life just a little bit more, God says to me, no, go down and rest and trust in my divine sovereignty over all. God also reveals human depravity to the babes. He shows them that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Again, in the lives of children, when they've done wrong, they have a tender conscience yet that's not been hardened through the course of life. When they've done wrong, they know it. And when they are convicted of their sins, when parents find them out, then there is often this honesty and sometimes even a cry. Why am I so bad? Why do I do such bad things? You see, congregation, the Lord works these things in the hearts of babes. Divine sovereignty, human responsibility. He also teaches, thirdly, respect for Himself. That the fear of God is the beginning of true wisdom. The fear of God, the respect for the holy, is the beginning of true wisdom. Many times children, if they haven't been hardened, they have a respect, for example, for the Lord's Day, or they have respect for the house of God. And they can even sometimes point out things in their parents where that respect has gone. And so too the Lord works in the hearts of His children. His need to respect the Lord, to have respect unto His word, and to His day, and to His statutes, to Him as God over all. The Lord teaches, fourthly, to babes the wonder of the new birth, that the Lord regenerates sinners who are lost and undone and on their way to hell. And the Lord shows them this miracle that He can do what no one else can do. He can give this new birth, a new start, a new life by His Holy Spirit. And what the natural man cannot make any sense out of, like Nicodemus, who can't understand the new birth at all, the babe doesn't understand all the ins and outs of it all, but understands God gives new life. And he or she cries for it. Grant life unto my soul, I pray. And especially, congregation, fifthly, the Lord reveals to babes the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, being born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were fastened to the law as a taskmaster and as a judge. The wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Advent season that we are just beginning now is a time in which all of our attention is drawn away from the hustle and bustle of this life to the things that God's words reveal. And it's appropriate that children have a strong interest in the events that took place so far away and long ago at Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself came not into this world as a wise man. He was not born in a scribal school. He did not have his birthplace in a royal palace. But he came as a baby. He came like you and me in all things, sin excepted. What a miracle. What an amazing thing. Who is this in yonder stall? The children ask. And well, you might ask, children, because here is the Lord of all. Here's the one that you and I need because of our sin and our shame and our hardness of heart. And because we constantly do try to climb our way up to heaven. Here is it. Here is the one we need. Shall we then not stoop and bow the manger in Bethlehem? For there we see what the Lord delights in. Here is the babe of Bethlehem who came to redo what all that we undid and to be everything for us who have nothing. And congregation, when it comes to this, submission comes into our soul and rest comes into our soul. Then instead of clamoring and controlling and climbing, we fall at the feet of the one who has everything and who is everything. And we learn the secret of submission. The secret of submission that says, so, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Congregation, there comes rest, there comes peace. When at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and his one sacrifice for sin forever, we lose all our own righteousness and we find in the Lord more than enough to save sinners like ourselves. And we submit and we rest. And we hear him say in the gospel, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You noticed, didn't you, that these words come right after the Lord's rejoicing and declaring that he's revealed the truth, the Father's revealed the truth unto babes. You see, if you say to a child, if you say to a baby, come and rest, they'll come, they'll rest, they'll long for it, they'll trust, they'll obey, they'll heed, because they need. The wise and prudent, they can't rest, and they won't rest. Oh, my friend, whoever you are, however you came into this place today, leaning on your own wisdom, whatever it may be, hear the voice of the Savior. Do not entertain hard thoughts regarding the Lord, but rest on his will. Rest on his word. There is everything that sinners need. Pardon for sin and peace that endures, and a righteousness that the law cannot condemn. No, the law approves it, and heaven accepts it. And here, my weary soul, you will find rest. Baptismal parents, we commend you to the Lord and to his grace. Remember, as you seek to raise these children, do not become wise in your own conceits, but become like your children in the sense with relationship to God, where you're needy, where you cry, where you feed, where you submit, where you trust, where you obey, and find this rest and this joy which lay deep in the heart of the Son of God in our text. Congregation, do you see as he speaks these words in our text, he has Calvary already in his mind. He's come for babes. He's come to die on the cross, to give new life. And he didn't do it reluctantly. He did it with joy. He thanked his Father. I thank Father of heaven and earth, I thank thee that this is the way, that the cross is the way, that new life is the way. He thanks his Father for Calvary. As difficult, as agonizing as it all would be for him, but this is the way that he would have a people in every generation, from every tribe, tongue, and nation, all sorts of people, and all of them, babes, or congregation, to be part of that family of God, to be a baby in that blood-bought family of God. Friend, don't stay with your wisdom. It's foolishness. May the Lord make it foolishness in your heart and in your life. May this cry be born even this day. God, be merciful to me. Amen. Gracious, good doing, and almighty Lord God of heaven and of earth, grant something of the joy that was in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ so long ago when he spoke these words, even in the midst of great rejection. He had his people. He has them on his heart. And grant that those people would be here. And we commit, Lord, these parents and these children unto thee. These children have been a parable to us this morning. Oh, to be like them. Oh, to be trusting. Oh, to be needing, depending, relying, submitting. And Lord, wilt thou do thy great work as thou hast promised to do it through the foolishness of preaching. Bless thy word from this morning, but also from this evening. Wilt thou go before this congregation in mercy? Wilt thou blot out all our sin? And we ask this all in the Redeemer's name and for his sake alone. Amen.